In music studios from Los Angeles to Nashville, famous songs you know and love were born. But when the musicians couldn't find the sound they were looking for, they would sometimes record in a place that might surprise you, the bathroom. Like the one I'm standing in now in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, once called the hit recording capital of the world. This is B Studios, the untold story of the famous music recorded in bathrooms. Presented by Scrubbing Bubbles Bathroom Cleaner. Listen to the B Studios playlist on Spotify.
Nicely and beautifully done, Dave. I think Blanche is dancing right now to that music. I know she would have appreciated that, as she appreciated so much around here. And it is indeed my honor, on behalf of the family, the lovely family of Blanche Samohovitz, to welcome you to this service where we are going to honor and remember and celebrate the life of Blanche Samohovitz. I am happily joined by two former pastors today, Reverend Dr. Rick Martin, who preceded me for a number of years here at Mayflower. And before him, it was Reverend Dave Banfield, who is also gracing us with his accompaniment today. How beautiful, what a beautiful way to start the service. So, as we celebrate and as we remember that amazing personality, it's okay to laugh or cry as we reflect and enjoy our remembrances in honor of Blanche Samohovitz. So we appreciate all of you being here today. Reverend Dave now comes to give us our opening prayer.
Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Gracious and loving God, we come before you on this day, full of gratitude, full of joy, a bit of sorrow perhaps. We come to you ever thankful for the life of Blanche Samohovitz. And we ask that you would bless this time together here. Be with us in our joy, be with us in our sorrow. Our laughter, our tears, bless them all. As we celebrate not only Blanche's life, but we celebrate our lives having crossed hers. The interconnections that we share with Blanche, God, we are so grateful. Bless this time together. Go with us. And everything we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading is out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Thank you.
Nice to have talent. Hi, I'm Rick. Some of you don't know me. I was the pastor here for 9 years. And while Blanche was super active in the church back in those days, I like the changes you've made. I see you didn't move the clock. It's my fault the clock is there, because when I came here, I had a little trouble with my 12 to 18 minute sermon. And the clock has been here ever since. So I don't know what that says about you and your sermons, but anyway, it's a fixture now. And we ain't going there. When I came to Mayflower, I came as a guest speaker for one Sunday, and I stayed 9 years. Yeah, that is the truth. Would I lie in the pulpit? Would I lie? There were some very interesting things going on back then and different things. And so I just came in. I'm not from a congregational background, and so I had to do a whole bunch of research to find out what a congregationalist even was. And in the midst of everything that was going on, there were several people that were just super, super involved in the church. Blanche was one of them. I mean, when the doors were open, she was here. If anything was being done in the kitchen, she was there. She was just here, involved and faithful and dedicated, and it was amazing. I really liked Blanche. She didn't always really like me. She had this tendency to be a little strong-headed sometimes. Anybody remember that? See, and you know, so and I wasn't a pastor to come in and bring about great change. We're just going to kind of come in and get our feet wet and keep things stable for a while and see where things went. But she thought that the pastor had greater power than he had. This church is run by a church board. The board makes the decisions, and the pastor has one voice on the board. And then when the board would do things Blanche didn't like, she'd come to my office, explain to me. One of the things I loved about Blanche was I never had to worry. When you're a pastor, you know, I mean, there's things that get said behind your back and done behind your back, the whole politics things. Okay, Blanche wasn't really good at church politics. She just got in your face, told you the way it was supposed to be, and it was your job then to go correct that. Well, what I would explain to her, the pastor really doesn't have the power to change heaven and earth, then she'd be upset with me. In church, in the kitchen, faithful, wouldn't necessarily talk to me on Sunday morning, see? But then over time, it kind of eased up a little bit. And we finally developed this really cool system. I was part-time, came into the office 2 days a week, and did office hours 2 days a week. And one Tuesday morning, I came in, and there was M&Ms in my inbox. No note, no nothing, just a bag of M&Ms. Geez, a gift from heaven. I mean, M&Ms. Well, over time, my secretary caught Blanche putting them in there on Monday or Sunday after I'd already left. And what that came to mean over the years was everything was okay. She didn't come out and say, Pastor, we're okay. But the M&Ms were in the box, so I knew everything was okay. So on Sunday, I could walk up to her, you know, give her a little hug, and it was okay. It was just this unique relationship that we had. But I'll tell you, I can't say nobody because we have several families here that are just that dedicated. But work, dedicated, faithful, and then only 3 days a week at the Salvation Army. And, you know, I retired 2 years ago. That's why I left. I retired. And there's no way that I could do what Blanche and these other people do. There's just no way. Just faithful and dedicated. I have a poem here written by her mother. See if you don't hear Blanche in some of this. We have no business living if some service we can't give and help to brighten lives of those who around us live. We have no business living if when some wrongs appear, We ourselves ignore them, saying, it's not within our sphere. There was nothing in the pastor's office that was not within her sphere, let me tell you. We have no business living if, when air clouds the reason, we hesitate and let awful terror weigh with treason. We have no business living if a path is left untrod that needs some righteous thinking and we leave it to a clod. Our motto should be onward, and while a wrong remains, forward ever forward till righteousness makes claims. Don't let words cloud our reason or our kindliness to wane, for action, always action, will be a man's domain. And I didn't hear of this poem until I was getting ready for this. I thought, yeah. Evidently, Blanche listened to her mother some, because there's a lot of Blanche in there. And with whatever faults we might think she had over the years, I only knew her those 9 years, an amazing woman, dedicated, faithful, amazing. If we can do half of what she did, we'll be a better person for it.
And I'm the third, I'm Dave. As Pastor Rick mentioned, I was here, I think, 13 years maybe. At the very beginning of that, I was here as an active member with Blanche, and over the years that evolved into my role here as pastor. But I've got one up on you, Rick. You know, I really liked Blanche. But Blanche really liked me, though.
Would she like me so much?
I wanted to just take a minute, too, to thank, you know, all of you. You know, Pastor Mark, the family, Mayflower. It really is an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you very much for just having us as part of this. Blanche Samohavis, there's a whole list of labels, and I'll apologize in advance if I miss some of them, but over the course of her life, wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, aunt, I think, co-worker, co-volunteer, all of you folks are here claiming some label, some title to your connection with Blanche. But for every one of us, we are here claiming her as a friend. Maybe it was an acquaintance at work, at her volunteering. Maybe it's the dearly held family friend connection that you folks have. But we all glom on to Blanche as a friend. My own memories, as I say, you know, are primarily all from within the church setting here over the course of that 13 years or so. And I, you know, I'm blessed that Blanche was part of that time that I had here. I can't help but think of Blanche from the very beginning, though. It was Blanche and Dan. That's what happens in my memory first. They were a team. They were a couple. I suspect they were more than instrumental in keeping this place open and running over the course of some fairly grim years that Mayflower struggled through. Dan could talk to anybody for a long, long time about any number of things. Blanche, not so much. But when she spoke, you really needed to pay attention and listen. And frankly, it would be really best if you didn't cross her and get on the wrong side of her. There were, not often, but there were at least an occasional Sunday morning where eventually it would come around to, well, you know, Dan was treading a little bit lightly, perhaps, Sunday morning. Because he kind of got on the wrong side of Blanche that morning with some issue or another. I didn't have much time with Dan at all. But after Dan's death, Blanche, she didn't merely recover. She grieved, she missed Dan, but she carried on her own. She flourished. She remained a noble and stalwart institution in this church, as well as all those other places that we'll mention in a moment, where perhaps it was Blanche and Dan early on. For years and years, it was Blanche and Doris. The two of them spearheaded so much that went on in this place. If you talk to anybody, I think, at least everybody that I have talked to about Blanche this past week or so, eventually the conversation will come around to some reference to her laugh. She had a great laugh. It was infectious. It was especially neat when it was out of control. That would happen sometimes. There are stories of Blanche at a Christmas Carol family sing-along where Otis the Basset Hound chimed in. Blanche, they thought she was going to fall out of her chair with Otis the dog singing the carols. It was after I was gone, but one of the musical matinees, I understand, our good friend Mayor showed up as the millennial bug. And whatever that costume was, apparently Blanche practically fell out of that chair with her laughing. Interesting note, it was also mentioned that her laughter, you know, like if you were in a setting perhaps, wondered where Blanche was, you know, whatever, a get-together of people, well, pause for a minute, you'd hear her laugh and then use that as the homing signal. You could locate Blanche with her laugh. And her laugh was two-way. She loved to tease people, and that happened a lot. But she was okay being teased herself. You know, you could give it back to her, and her laugh was that was a common point either way. She wasn't all just laughs and pranks and teases, though. Blanche was a serious worker. In this place, the Salvation Army, there's a bunch of numbers that I don't know if I could have found the numbers. I heard conflicting things like how many decades here at Mayflower? I I don't know if anybody knows that number. That's a big number. I've heard everything from 30 to maybe as many as 50 years at the Salvation Army. Heard that Blanche had a really sensitive thing for hunger. She did not, that got to her. Countless, more than likely thousands of meals that she dealt with the Salvation Army. She was a teacher's aide. There's a very cool thing that I heard. As I understand it, perhaps, again, there's a question mark on the number of years. Was it 15, 20 years? I'm not clear. But she was a teacher's aide, primarily working with first graders. I can't imagine 15 years of first graders. But bless her heart, you know, she dealt with these kids, a lot of kids who came from family situations where it was a struggle. You know, they maybe weren't getting as much, they weren't getting as much guidance, maybe not as much discipline as they could have had at home. Blanche was working with these kids as an aide. I hear tell that there were, I don't know how many, but there were kids that would come back to her as high schoolers to thank her for what she did for them as a kid however many years ago. Very, very neat legacy there. Old Newsboys. It was an interesting crack there. Is that, well, kind of the Old Newsboys was Dan's thing, but Blanche did all the work. I don't know how accurate that is, but everything she did, like what Pastor Rick was saying, you know, like, okay, she's a retired older woman, but the number of hours that she invested into all these volunteer efforts, the list here at Mayflower that I'm most familiar with, it just goes on and on and on. The pews that you're sitting in, I don't know how many times they were cleaned and oiled by Blanche over the years. She cleaned everything here. The pews, the ovens. I don't know if you've seen the ovens downstairs. The bathrooms. She painted bathrooms at one point. She decorated the fellowship hall for any number of occasions. Hobo dinners. Everybody, that's kind of a hallmark item for Blanche, were the hobo dinners. And picture this, the hobo dinners. Fishnet stockings, red high heels, and a bizarre blonde wig. It's an image that it ought to be on one of those poster board collections we had here, but it's a great image in my mind. There's one that I heard about equally as much fun that I didn't get to witness myself, but we had an earlier gathering at the cemetery today, and I shared a reading that included a line referencing that, you know, when the earth shall claim your limbs, then you shall truly dance. Picture this, Blanche Samohovitz singing East Side, West Side, and tap dancing to that while she sang. I would have loved to have seen that one. I wasn't there for that. Kitchen rules, you know, work in the kitchen. You know, I understand that she was a promoter for working with the state health department. You know, they've got these rules, you got to follow them. I remember being here alone one day when the health department inspector showed up, and he frankly made it very clear to me. He says, you know, I've got to write something on this form just to demonstrate that I was here. He goes through the drawers and he pulled out a spatula that had typical old spatula with a painted handle, and the paint was kind of chipping off. He says, you've either got to repair this or dispose of it. You can't have this paint, you know. So well, this is easy. I took it and put it in the waste basket while he was there. So we're done with that issue. I told Blanche about that. It was a great story. I remember telling her. And so she was sensitive to what went on in the kitchen. And she laughed, but she did the greatest eye roll with that story. You know, she like, oh. Angel Pie, there were people on the second Saturday suppers that Blanche was always working with, but I understand there were folks that, nope, not coming to the second Saturday supper if Blanche doesn't make an angel pie for dessert. You know, she was well known for that one. She had that great laugh, which was connected to a wonderful smile, and I'm inclined to think that, yeah, you know, the smile at times, there was a little wicked twist that went with that oftentimes. One of my own favorite stories. We'd had a memorial service, and there was a reception following. I was a little delayed getting to the reception, just dealing with folks afterward, and I forget what all was going on. But I get back to the fellowship room as things are not exactly winding down, but everybody'd gotten their food, and they're all, you know, well into that process. And Blanche made a plate for me. You know, I don't remember exactly. It's probably the typical. You had little sandwiches and potato salad, carrot celery sticks and whatnot. I don't remember who the other two ladies were that were with her, but the three of them, you know, Blanche has this plate. She's bringing it over the table with the smile, but there was a wicked thing happening in her eyes. Say, what is going on here, you know? And she brings me this plate. She sets it down, and she says, "We, you know, knew you were kind of, you know, whatever, delayed getting here, and we wanted to make this up for you, and wanted to tell you especially, you know, know that you like olives, and they were taking care of some of the stuff, so I wanted to make sure we got olives for you before they were gone." It's like, okay. And then she says to me, "And I hope each one works for you." I don't remember if I had a reply or not. And then she went away laughing, of course. You know that? I was like, she had a wonderful sense of humor. And I understand that, you know, Blanche was not especially touchy-feely. You know, we saw that at church. Perhaps not touchy-feely as a mother, as a grandmother. On the other hand, there was little question of her love for her family. I understand that perhaps at times in place of a touchy-feely component, there was a fair amount of, well, suck it up, you know. Much what we heard here at church at times. But there's a wonderful comment that went by too as I was talking. I said, well, you know, Blanche, like any other parent, she did the best she could. She was strict. I understand that her father was perhaps more strict, and as we all do as parents, she managed to temper it down to the next generation at least somewhat. Summers at the lake. I hear a lot about summers at the lake. Blanche would take the family to the cottage. Dan would commute back and forth. He'd get there on weekends, is my understanding. If I've got this wrong, correct me. But comment went by, I said, well, you know, we're not sure if it was because Blanche especially liked the summer at the lake, but she certainly knew her kids did. She would go out of her way for her kids, her grandkids, the great-grandkids. And I understand that however many grandkids and great-grandkids, however many of you there are, my understanding is that she never forgot a birthday until the later years. That slipped perhaps toward the end, but always got birthday cards. And I understand, you know, the grandkids always got love punches in the shoulder when she was messing with you. She got older. She stopped driving on the main roads. She really appreciated annual trips to Eaton Rapids, where they'd go each year to get flowers for her condo, and a good friend would take her with her to get the flowers, and they'd take the back roads. You know, she very much appreciated that because she wouldn't drive that much. She arrived at hospice, and as ever, she did things her own way there. Over the course of times, well, 6 months, 3 months, well, no, 6 months was a while ago. Well, 90 days, you know, 60 days, well, no, 30 days, that was back then. They referred to her as the Energizer Bunny, I understand. They also referred to her as Bright Eyes. And the word at hospice was, if you're having a bad day, go see Blanche. Blanche will make your day better. In spite of her teasing and jabbing at hospice, I hear of, you know, sitting with her at a meal, and, well, yeah, you know, the napkins taste better than the food. But Blanche set a noble and a Christian example of living a life of service. But living it with the laugh, living it with the grin and the smile, she lived her life very, very well. And she appreciated all of those who shared that attitude of hers, that service was a valuable thing. She appreciated her cohorts at Salvation Army and Newsboys and the church and the teacher's aid situation. You know, those people that served other people, she made it clear that she appreciated them too. We're here celebrating her life. It's a good thing to do. The stories, the memories, I encourage you all to continue that. Share your own stories at the meal we'll have shortly. Well, that's all looking back. You know, we're standing here looking back at Blanche's life. It's a good thing to do. Pastor Mark and Rick and I, we didn't compare notes on what we were going to be saying here exactly. So I hope I'm not interfering.
Go right ahead.
But I would like to share with you two verses in particular. We're looking back at Blanche's life. What happens? We turn around and we look forward now. Our own lives without Blanche's direct life, 99 years, that's a good long run. We're glad. We're joyful. But we're grieved. We will miss Blanche. What do we do looking this way? Two verses that are absolutely my favorite for a day like today. And admittedly, I'm picking and choosing. I'm pulling them out of context. But they speak to what I believe we are about today, a big part of why we're here. In his first letter that Paul wrote to that little church in Corinth, he wrote to them at one point, he said, "Listen, and I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed." I like that. Blanche did not die. So, well, okay, we know all those medical facts and statistics. Yes, Blanche died. That's the language we have. It's the language we're stuck with. But Blanche didn't die. She changed. And the change is awful. The change is horrible. We hate the change. But if we begin to grasp that idea that Blanche lives, we speak of our love for Blanche. We don't speak in terms of past tense. We don't talk about how we used to love Blanche. We love Blanche. And I would submit, we don't merely love these stories and memories, and we do. We certainly love that. But there's something more than that. We love Blanche. We can't love what is not real. Blanche lives. Blanche has changed. But if we can come to grasp that, however well, it is indeed still a wonderful world. Blanche is still part of it, and we love her still. As she would point out, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Thank you, God, for Blanche's life.
Those that can, please stand.
Thank you.
Please be seated. When's the last time you had to sit through a service and listen to three preachers?
So,
yeah, might have been a different story, Rick. And I think number three might be the most difficult, but not really. As I mentioned before, it is an honor for me to stand before this congregation, before friends and acquaintances, before the beloved family of Blanche, and with two former pastors of this church to honor and remember a life of witness and faith as a follower of Christ, and to her chosen community of like-minded co-laborers in the gospel group called Mayflower Church, where we gather today, quite appropriately, in Blanche's memory and honor. It wasn't long after I arrived at Mayflower, following the gracious passing of the baton by retiring pastor Dr. Rick Martin, that I quickly became aware of the name Blanche Samohovitz, and all anybody ever had to say was Blanche. She was one of the first people I visited as one of the homebound members of Mayflower Church. And when I did that many times, subsequently, often with other caring members of this congregation who knew and loved Blanche. But because I did not have the privilege of being a pastor to her, when she was able to attend and participate, soon after her passing, I solicited the help and support in this service of the two former pastors, Dave and Rick. They have shared some of their memories during times when Blanche was very active, very involved, and known by everyone. And she participated and served in the place that she called, and we are honored by it, her spiritual home for so many years we can't even count them. They had a privilege that I did not, so I thank both of you for quickly and graciously responding to my invitation and being here today. And it means a lot to me and to this congregation and to the family, Dr. Rick and Reverend Dave, and especially also for the wonderful music that you weren't the one that got the talent, that kind of talent. Dave, thank you so much. During my visits with Blanche and sometimes with her family, I remember at Sparrow when she broke her leg and after a fall, and at her birthday party last November when I met some of you, I too became aware of the formidable presence and personality of Blanche. So I would like to say that I too loved Blanche Samohovitz. As I pondered the words that we sang in what we know was her favorite hymn, I do not know all the details of the commitments that Blanche made long ago, but I have no doubt that Blanche answered a call when Jesus came to her, calling softly and tenderly. And while Blanche, like all of us, was not a perfect person, and we've heard about that today, there were some traits and habits that were a result of that call, which she answered in the affirmative. And I'm inspired by those habits and traits. And I would like to share some of those admirable qualities when we stop to measure her life, and to think about our own lives and how we too will be measured in the light of time and eternity. I've talked to a couple of people today that have mentioned that they might want to have a service that would be like a funeral before one dies, because you'd like to hear everything good that people would say about you. Sometimes we don't always get that. So if any of you Mayflower members are wanting to do that, we can talk about that. But you'll have to promise to do the same for me. One habit that Blanche had, and this is to some degree overlap here, but echoed by all three of us, and in some sense by each of us today, was the habit formed long ago of faithfulness. We don't keep attendance records here at Mayflower, or at least I don't think we do. But from what I can gather, Blanche was not only a faithful attender, but she was faithful in almost every way of participating and leading in our church. She followed the example of her Lord as we are reminded of the faithfulness of Christ. We read in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus, early in his ministry, when he was in his hometown of Nazareth, went to the synagogue to read from the scriptures. And it was on the Sabbath, the scripture tells us, that he did that, simply that it was his custom to do so. It was his faithfulness as an example that Blanche followed. And with Blanche, there were some personal traits that accompanied her faithfulness. She was rugged, dependable, committed, hardworking, and vocal. Sometimes maybe a little too vocal, but it's okay, Blanche. I've been accused of the same thing. It would stand into reason. It is one of the reasons that I admire Blanche's life and testimony. All we have to do as participants in the life and ministry of the Mayflower Church that Blanche influenced was to look around and see evidence. The influence and faithfulness that she had, including one thing that I'd like to mention. The improved appearance of the centerpiece of this sanctuary, the cross. That she not only asked that it would be enhanced, as I have understood, she provided the funds and the resources. And I wouldn't be surprised if Blanche was telling whoever was doing it how to do it. Another trait that we admire in Blanche was her commitment to giving and serving. Many here today know, appreciate, and have experienced all she did around here. But she had another favorite place that's already been mentioned, and others too, but it was the Salvation Army, where she served tirelessly as a volunteer. Not long ago, we had on our bulletin board in the lobby of our church a picture of Blanche in the Lansing State Journal. You'd be proud of it, family members, if you didn't see it, serving a meal to the less fortunate, which was not occasional, but a developed and nurtured habit. At least 25 years, I think Dave mentioned it might have been more than that. This was an example she followed that was clearly demonstrated and taught by her Lord and our Lord. Jesus commended those who welcomed those who seemingly did not belong, clothed those who were naked, fed those who were hungry, gave water to those who thirsted, and visited those who were in prison. Noting that to do so was to do the very same thing for Christ himself, as Blanche did. As a testimony to Blanche's selfless dedication, and just since I have been here at Mayflower for the last 2 years, this congregation has given thousands of dollars to the work of the Salvation Army, all in Blanche's honor. She motivated and motivates us yet today. The last trait and habit I would mention, which inspires me, is the habit of gratefulness. And that too has been mentioned today. How did I experience that? Every time I visited her, and especially in the visit three of us had with Blanche just a few days before she passed, when she was still amazingly alert, after, as we all know, the cutting edge of her memory was gone. With Sumat, myself and Kathy Sundermeyer, whose husband Carl was also a former minister, he's deceased. But his favorite parishioner was Blanche. We visited Blanche and sang hymns that I wasn't real thrilled to do, but Sue handed me a hymnal and said, "Here goes." And when we sang favorite hymns, Blanche had that trademark smile ear to ear on her face just 6 days before she passed. And when we stood up, preparing to leave, she looked at us with that sense of dignity and with a graciousness in her spirit, even with eloquence, and profusely thanked us for coming. Even with the absence of her memory, she was able to thank us because it was a habit that she developed and nurtured long ago. It reminds all of us the habits of our Lord, Blanche's Lord, when he always gave thanks before he ate, when he gave thanks before he broke bread, and when he commended the only one of 10 lepers who had been cleansed to return to say thank you. That was Blanche's habit. So with that, and in the spirit of Christ, I would like to say thank you, Blanche. Thank you, Blanche, for supporting your husband, Dan, when the Mayflower Church was about to close its doors. You helped welcome many into the life and ministry of the Mayflower Church with vibrant young families, most of whom love music, many of whom are present today. Thank you, Blanche, for your hard work. Painting, and I particularly admire that. Scrubbing, cleaning pews, the list goes on. The kitchen detail. Sue Maud, our kitchen director and our lay leader, reminded me today as she was working this morning for the meal that we shall partake. She looked at me and said, Blanche was helping me this morning. Thank you, Blanche, for your financial support, including the donation you made to help make this sanctuary cross look much more worthy in honor of the sacrifice of Christ. Thank you, Blanche, for your work in the preparation and delivery of food and your sense of humor with your famous hobo dinners. Thank you, Blanche, that you taught this congregation how to laugh. Thank you for setting the example of service by giving not only your work here at Mayflower in the church, but extending that, your dedication, service, volunteer spirit at the Salvation Army and her teaching career, as was mentioned. Thank you, Blanche, for all you gave and all you did by being faithful, by serving and giving, and by being grateful. And by thanking you, we are inspired to thank our Lord, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Dave, you're right. I had that verse picked out, but guess what? There's seven more. And this is perhaps the most important thing we would listen to and give attention today, from the pen of the Apostle Paul to that little church in Corinth where I was able to visit many years ago. As he read, listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, and perhaps most importantly, my beloved, speaking to all of us. Be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Thanks be to God for Blanche and for all of us who will and have answer that call. Amen. I'm going to admit something here. I knew I'd forget something. And that word of remembrance, that poem, somehow I didn't have it. Lorraine, do you have that available in the back or the office? Okay, I will look it up and I will read it in the back. Is it already in there? I don't think it's that one. I will check it. I apologize if it gets somehow lost. Just before we sing another favorite of Blanche's, I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for coming today. And it is indeed a pleasure, and shall be a greater pleasure around the table today to meet more of the family members that I had a chance to greet, as Dave did a little earlier. And we will celebrate with a meal that has Blanche's name written all over it. We're calling it a hobo tea party. So I would like to thank in advance for all of those who work in Blanche's memory and honor and with the example of that hardworking and loving soul. For those that continue that tradition, we're going to celebrate with a Blanche hobo tea party today, and we hope all of you can join us.
Once again, would you stand, those that can?
God be with you till we meet again.
By his counsels, guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you.
Yeah, just to make sure everybody is invited to the meal. We don't want to forget that before we offer the benediction threefold today.
And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
May he lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you.
May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
And don't do anything Blanche wouldn't do.
And the ushers will exit you from your pews, and Rick and Dave, I'll ask you to join me as well. No, Dave's going to continue to play. Rick, join me.